Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today we conclude that period of time known as Hallowtide that begins with the Vigil of All Saints, also known as Halloween, and continues through All Saints, then All Souls Day, and today we celebrate the memorial of all of the deceased of the Seraphic Order. But even though this concludes Hallowtide, the whole month of November is dedicated to the poor souls in purgatory. And so we want to read again and study again about the Church's teaching on purgatory. So we go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1030, which says, "All who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven." Right? All who die in God's grace and friendship, that is everything, that we die in the state of grace. This determines whether we're saved or whether we're damned for all eternity. So those who die in God's grace and friendship, if we have God's grace in our souls, then we have a relationship of friendship with God. He dwells in our souls as a friend. But still imperfectly purified. Now, what's that mean? In order to understand that, we need to go to a different part of the Catechism. This is paragraph 1472 that talks about the punishments of sin. It is necessary to understand that sin has a double consequence. Grave sin deprives us of communion with God, and therefore makes us incapable of eternal life, the privation of which is called the eternal punishment of sin. Right? Grave sin, if committed with sufficient knowledge and sufficient consent, constitutes a mortal sin. And as Saint Francis said, "Woe to those who die in mortal sin, because they will be separated forever from God." It deprives us of communion with God and makes us incapable of eternal life, because God respects our free will. If, by choosing to commit grave sin, what we're telling God is that we are choosing this sin over Him, and He respects our free will, and therefore He leaves the soul, departs, and there is no longer that relationship of friendship. And so grace, the indwelling of God, all leave the soul once we choose to commit grave sin. And so there's no longer a communion of friendship with Him. And if we die in that state, then we are forever without communion and friendship with God. This is the eternal punishment. On the other hand, every sin, both mortal and venial, entails an unhealthy attachment to creatures, which must be purified either here on earth or after death in the state called purgatory. Right, so that's the purification that we're talking about. An unhealthy, in other words, disordered attachment to creatures. Let's examine ourselves on this point. Are there anything in our lives that we are attached to in a disordered way, that we would be willing to commit venial sin or serious sin instead of giving up? You know, we kind of give it a higher place in our lives than it really should. Higher than God, if we're willing to commit mortal sin for it. But really, higher than it ought to be if we're willing to commit venial sin. Okay? Because this undue or unhealthy attachment to creatures. And so it must be purified either here on earth or after death in the state which is called purgatory. This purification frees one from what is called the temporal punishment of sin. Okay, there's the eternal punishment due to mortal sin, but there's temporal punishment due to all sin, okay? Mortal sin that's been forgiven in this life, and venial sin. These two punishments must not be conceived as a kind of vengeance inflicted by God from without, but as following from the very nature of sin, a conversion which proceeds from a very fervent charity can attain the complete purification of the sinner in such a way that no punishment would remain. Right? A conversion which proceeds from fervent charity. The scripture says that charity covers a multitude of sins. And so, if we're striving for perfect charity, then we are purifying ourselves from the temporal punishment of sin in the fire of love, which should be burning in our souls. And this can attain already in this life, the complete purification of sin. This is sanctification, becoming the saints that we're supposed to be. Now, the other source that we use, which is so useful, besides the catechism, is the companion to the catechism, because that has all of the citations which are cited in the catechism in their full, well, everything that it says. And here in paragraph 1472, which talks about the punishment of sin, it refers to the Council of Trent, cites the Council of Trent. And this is what the Council of Trent says about it. If anyone says that the whole punishment, together with the guilt, right, those are the two things that occur with every sin, guilt and punishment. The guilt, we must be forgiven of the guilt by God, forgiven by God. The temporal punishment, we need to make up. If anyone says that the whole punishment, together with the guilt, is always pardoned by God, and that the satisfaction of penitence is nothing other than faith, by which they perceive that Christ has made satisfaction for them, let him be anathema. Okay, that's saying that when we leave the confessional, we are pardoned of guilt. Thanks be to God and his incredible mercy. But the punishment due to sin may not have been remitted in the confessional. It may have been if our contrition, our sorrow for sin was profound and perfect, then maybe the temporal punishment was also completely remitted, but we don't know. If there was anything lacking in our contrition, then part of that punishment will remain, and we must make up for by penance. This is one reason why the priest gives you a penance to do after you leave the confession. Do penance for your sins. Make up for that punishment. If anyone says that for sins, as far as temporal punishment is concerned, there is very little satisfaction made to God through the merits of Christ by the punishments inflicted by him and patiently borne, or by those enjoined by the priest, those enjoined by the priest when you leave the confessional, but voluntarily undertaken, okay, as by fasts, prayers, almsgiving, that's the traditional way that we do penance, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, or also by other works of piety, and that therefore the best penance is only a new life, let him be anathema. Okay, so not only do we need to convert and live a new life, but we also need to do penance. Remember, our Lord says, unless you do penance, you shall all likewise perish. And so, because we are all sinners, we are all likewise penitents. We need to live penitential lives in this world. And so we will continue with this reflection on purgatory, the poor souls to whom this month is dedicated, the satisfaction we must make for sins, and the great charity that we can express by having mercy on our departed friends, relatives, benefactors, okay, by helping them in their need, because in purgatory they can't help themselves. And so we in charity should strive to help them by our prayers, almsgiving, and sacrifices. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Fructum ventris tuum.